Well, good evening, Potter's Four Square.
Hope all is well. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my home office again. One day I'm going to greet you, and it won't be from my home office, so hopefully that will be soon. So hope all is well. We are studying Ephesians on Wednesday nights at 6:30 at the church, and we've had the faithful coming out every week to study, and it's been a really good thing. We've, you know, talked about instruction for Christian living on the second half of Ephesians for the last probably 4 or 5 weeks, and now we're getting into a new area, and this is instruction for Christian households. So before, it really spoke of a personal responsibility to following Jesus Christ, and now Paul shifts. Remember, the second part of Ephesians chapter 4, 5, and 6 are more geared towards our walk, and the first three chapters are more geared towards our position. But in this particular text, we're in chapter 5, verse 21 through 24 of Ephesians. And if you have your Bible tonight, why don't you turn there and get ready. We're going to be talking about submission. And I think that, you know, before we even go any further in this study, I just want to take the opportunity to redefine submission, because I think it's a bad thing. If you look at submission in sports, right, the very word implies that there is a strong man and there is a one who is submitted to that strong man. And it's not a very good thing to be in a position of submission. If you look at the work relationship, we have a boss and then we have people that are under him and they're submitted to him. And I think that because most work environments are not in a Christian environment, that we get this whole idea that Jesus spoke about when he confronted the Jews. He said, you know, your leadership, you guys lord your authority over people. And that's not what Jesus does. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And I think this submission is a bad thing, and it's culturally, it's a bad thing. There is a lot of religions where, you know, obviously women are second-class citizens, and I don't understand to this day why our country defends those particular religions where women are forced to live lives that are just nothing next to what a man gets to live in terms of freedom and blessing. And yet, not only do we fund those types of religions, we stand up for them and we defend them. And I just think fundamentally it's wrong, because the submission that we see in Christianity, if we truly understand the word, there's a big difference between godly submission and what the world views as submission. And I want to make sure that we make a distinction this morning or this evening before we even get started, that those things are two completely different things. And tonight we're going to be talking about biblical submission. So even before, you know, sin entered the world, there was still this principle of the headship of the husband, right? And it's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Adam was created first, and then Eve was created to be a helper for Adam. And we know that. And God has established several types of authorities in this world, right? Not just the marital covenant, but governors to enforce justice in society and to provide protection for the people. Obviously, pastors to lead and feed the sheep of God, and husbands to love and nurture their wives, and fathers to admonish their children. And Paul is going to be speaking to each and every one of those, right? And in each case, submission is required. I understand that. It's, if you look at all of those four categories, it's a citizen to submitted to a government, a flock submitted to the shepherd, a wife submitted to the husband, a child submitted to the father. But the idea here that we're going to see in this particular scripture is the way that the model is set up for us. And I think that sometimes we want to be submitted to, and we want to tell people what to do, but we don't understand the model. And I think that the model is pretty clear in Ephesians and the text that we're going to study tonight. So if you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through 24, and we'll begin reading there. submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I'm going to pause. If you have a highlighter or a pen, I want you to circle that and note it in your Bible, because that verse right there sets up all of the other aspects of submission, right? So before we even talk about wives to husbands and children to fathers and slaves to masters, submit to one another. And what is the motivation? Out of reverence for Christ. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Father, we pray blessing upon your word tonight as we study, that you give us eyes to see what your Spirit is doing in the church and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. So our motivation tonight is we're here to study, to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. And you say, Greg, I'm tired of hearing you say that. Please don't be tired. That's the hat that you put on when you study God's word. It's to learn how to rightly divide, and it's a lifestyle that we do as believers. It's not something that you do once. It's something that you do every day. So some observations. Well, verse 21 is the key to understanding and interpreting this entire section of Scripture. Submission is revering Jesus, right? That word, revering Jesus. And it's to feel a deep respect or admiration for something. And synonyms to the word submission are respect, admire, think highly of, have a high opinion of, hold in high regard, esteem, hold in high esteem, think much of, approve of, and appreciate, cherish, and value. When we look at submission, do we really give it those meanings, or do we just say, I'm submitted, I'm just going to do what I'm told? Because that's not what this is talking about here. And so, the next thing is, wives are submit to their own husbands. And there's a distinction made here, because I think that once, and I've seen this in church over and over and over again. I don't know what it is about men and women in church, but it just seems like men, especially the older congregations, men think that every woman is submitted to them. And that's just not true. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands. If you're a woman, you don't have to submit to some other man. God hasn't called you to that, unless that other man is your pastor, or your governor, or your president, or a police officer, somebody in authority. You don't have to submit to some man, right? That's some man. They haven't given vows to you. They haven't taken responsibility to provide for you and love you and done all those things that your own husband has done. And so therefore, you ought not to submit to them. Even though the Bible does say that we are submit to everybody, but we'll develop that as we go. So wives submit as they submit to God. So if you're having difficulty submitting to God, then you're going to have a very difficult time submitting to your husband, because there's a cadence here. And the first thing is, if you want to be submitted to your husband, you need to be submitted to God first and then husband second. You can't be submitted to your husband without being submitted to God. Why is the wife to submit? Well, it says very clearly, the husband is the head of the family, and Christ is the head of the church. Now, if you go back to the church, Jesus said that his church was a body, and that all the parts of the body had equal value. Well, the head is part of the body, and so is the finger, and so is the fingernail, and so is the toe, and so is the heel, and so are all these parts that we think that aren't important, yet they're all one body. And the toe can't say to the head, I have no need of you. And the head can't say to the toe, I have no need of you. The husband is the head of the family, and Christ is the head of the church. And the model for Christian women here is the church beautifully submitting to Jesus, the head of the church. And so the wife submits the way that the church submits to the Lord. We don't do it in complain. The church is not supposed to complain. And what is the job of the husband is to adorn his wife and to prepare this beautiful bride. That's the job. submission is to everything. In everything, the woman is to be submitted. And I know that that falls on, you know, deaf ears sometimes when it comes to submission. And I've had a lot of interaction with women over the years, trust me, that have said, you know, you're just calling me to be a doormat and I don't want to be a doormat. But what is submission? The problem is submission is not being a doormat. You obviously don't understand the meaning of the word submission biblically. And if you're trying to do it in your own strength and you're trying to do it and you're complaining under your breath, then I'll simply ask you this evening, how are you submitted to God? When God requires things of you, are you, you know, talking under your breath and complaining about him? And what is your attitude? Because if that's the way you are with God, that's the way you're going to be with your husband. So the Greek word translated here to submit is hupotasso. And it is a continuing form of the verb, meaning that once you're submitted to God in government or your pastor or your husband, it's not a one-time act. It's a continual attitude, which becomes a pattern of behavior. So the first thing, of course, is that we are responsible to submit to God, which is the only way we can truly obey God. The only way, right? We have to be submitted to him. And each Christian should live a humble and be ready to submit to others. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And if we don't have that mindset, if we don't have the mindset of servant leadership, right, where we put everybody's needs before our needs, then we're in big trouble. In regards to submission within the family unit, you know, 1 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3 says that a husband is to submit to Christ as Christ did to the Father, and the wife is to submit to the husband. There is submission going both ways here. And the husband is supposed to be submitted to Christ. And when he is, if a husband is truly submitted to Christ, the natural outcropping of that is a wife that will be submitted to her husband. There's a lot of misunderstanding in our world today about the roles of a husband and a wife within a marriage, even when in biblical roles are properly understood. Many people choose to reject them in favor of this supposed emancipation of women, meaning that, you know, the woman is free and is not being, you know, can't be told what to do. And again, going back to some other religions in our world where women are second-class citizens, it's funny, you know, we have Hollywood, we have a party in our political environment that supports religions that abuse women, I mean, clearly, and view them as second-class citizens. And they spend more time defending them than they do, what the Bible says about how we are to submit to one another. I don't understand why a man submitted to God and a woman submitted to that man is so terrifying to the world. I just don't get it. I mean, I say that tongue in cheek because I do get it, because it's truth and they don't want to hear it. They don't want to understand it. It's no surprise that the world rejects God's design, but God's people should be joyfully celebrating that design. Submission is not a bad word. Submission is a reflection of our love towards God. It's not inferiority or lesser value or lesser worth. Christ consistently submitted himself to the will of the Father. Luke chapter 22, 42, John chapter 5, verse 30, without giving up any of his worth. Christ submitted to the Father. Even when he went to go to the cross, he said, Father, if this is your will, if I have to drink this cup, I'll drink it. But it's not my will, it's your will. That's submitting. That's submitting. How many times are we going to look at God and actually say that? Is God really calling us to drink the cup of suffering? He allowed Jesus to drink that cup of suffering for us. There's much misinformation concerning a wife's submission to her husband. A wife is to submit to one man, and that is her husband, not to every man. And the rule to submit does not extend to a woman's place in society at large. A wife is to willingly submit to her husband in a personal obedience to Lord Jesus Christ. She submits to her husband because she loves Jesus. The example of a wife's submission is that of the church to Christ, and there's nothing said of, you know, the wife's abilities or talents or worth The fact that she submits to her husband does not imply that she's inferior or less worthy in any way. In fact, it's the opposite. You know, notice that there are no qualities to the command to submit except in everything. So the husband here, he does not have to pass a test or an intelligence test before his wife submits to him. She submits to him in everything. But the very fact may be that she may be better qualified in many areas to lead. But she chooses to follow the Lord's instruction by submitting to her husband and to his leadership. And in so doing, a godly wife can win an unbelieving husband without words, simply by her behavior. Submission should be a natural response to loving leadership. When a husband loves his wife as Christ loves the church, it goes hand in hand. The response to that is the wife is going to submit. Why? Look at how beautiful Jesus treats his bride, his church. That is the way the husband is supposed to treat his bride. Forgiving, loving, accepting, encouraging, covering, providing, empowering. But regardless of a husband's, you know, love or lack thereof, the wife is still submit. She is still to submit as unto the Lord. She doesn't have an out. I don't have an out. Just because somebody is abusing me doesn't mean that I don't submit to them. Unless it's they're asking me to do something that is against Scripture, you know. Her obedience to God, her acceptance of his plan will result in the submission of her husband. The as to the Lord comparison also reminds the wife that there is nothing higher authority that to whom she is to be responsible. She's under no obligation to disobey civil law or God's law in the name of submitting to her husband. That she shouldn't do that. She submits in the things that are right and lawful and God-honoring. Of course, she does not submit to abuse that is not right or lawful or God-honoring at all. To try and use that principle of submitting to justify abuse is to twist Scripture and promote evil. We don't do that. If you have a husband that's abusing you in any way, shape, or form, you ought not to submit to that. So there's the role of the husband. The submission of the wife to the husband in Ephesians 5 does not allow the husband to be selfish or domineering. His command is to love in verse 25, and he is responsible before God to fulfill that command. And as he exercises his authority wisely and graciously, and the fear of God comes upon him, because he's got to give an account for that relationship. When a wife is loved by her husband, the church is loved by Christ, submission is not difficult at all. Let me tell you, the husband has a harder role here. The Bible does not say that a woman's prayers can be hindered by her lack of submission. But if we're not loving our wife as Christ loved the church, God won't even hear the prayers of men. We should submit to one another in love. And in a marriage, submission is the position of giving honor and respect to the husband and completing what he is lacking in. When you submit to your husband, that's what you're doing. You're coming along and you're filling in. Your husband has voids and you're filling all of those voids because you're one flesh. You would never abuse your own flesh, your own body. It is God's wise plan how the family should function, and we need to take that into consideration. Matthew Henry, a Bible commentator, he wrote this. He said, the woman was made out of Adam's side. She was not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, and under his arm to be protected, and near to his heart to be loved. So the context here that commands the husband and the wife in Ephesians chapter 5 involves the filling of the Spirit, right? Paula talked about that the week prior, that, you know, we need to be worshipful in chapter 5, verse 19, and thankful in chapter 5, verse 20, and then in verse 21, submissive. So worshipful, thankful, and submissive. That is a Spirit-filled life. So let's bottom line this tonight, the thesis, right? A wife should submit to her husband, not because women are inferior. The Bible never teaches that, but because this is how God designed the marital relationship to function. Let me read that again. A wife should submit to her husband, not because women are inferior. The Bible never teaches that, but because that is how God designed the marital relationship to function. A wife should submit to her husband and not feel that place of inferiority, because in many respects, she's superior to him in a lot of different areas. And it's the bringing of those things together that is important. Spouses should honor one another, period. And as we go through this level of submission, us submitting to one another and God, wives submitted to their husbands, next week we're going to be talking about other submissions in our life. And again, we're going to go back to the true meaning, the hupotasso, that this is a beautiful submission, not one that is under the whip. I want to encourage you, if you have not heard truth like this before and you stumbled across this message and you've not had the opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you have and you've rejected him, today is the day that you should accept him. The Bible says if you confess with your heart, with your mouth, and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you make that your prayer, that you will be saved. You'll be sealed with the Holy Spirit. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll be given the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, and you will walk in the Spirit. It is a beautiful life. And if you've made that your prayer and your decision today, please find our number, phone number on the website, and give us a call and let us know what you have decided. We would love to rejoice with you. Find a good Bible-believing church and make sure you attend regularly. That's God's will for you. If you listen regularly, he has shown you and I what is good and what the Lord requires of us, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. Let's go do that now. I'll see you next week. God bless. Thank you.